Welcome to the Haha Hoops Podcast, SB Nation's coverage of the Miami Heat. I am your host, Ernest EJ Christian. I'm on the line today with Tom D'Angelo of the Palm Beach Post, who's been covering South Florida sports for well over two decades. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ernest. It's great to be with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You too, man. Appreciate having you on the show, man. You come to us live from Salt Lake City, actually, as the Heat play the Jazz tomorrow night. I want to talk
tonight.
Go ahead.
They play them tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah, Jazz tonight. Tomorrow's an off day, actually. Portland's
Saturday
night. They head out to Portland after the game.
Right, I was correct because last night I saw a thing that says that said Thursday night, and then I went on a site and someone said Friday night. I'm like, no, I think it's tonight.
Yeah.
So thanks for correcting. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. First things first here, I want to talk about Hassan Whiteside because, you know, he's the guy that got the big contract, 4 years, $98 million and all that. And, you know, I know it's been a tough year for Heat fans, obviously, but there is some silver linings here. And one of the things I'm really proud of is seeing the growth of Hassan Whiteside. He had another great game last night, 26 points, 16 boards, I believe. What are your thoughts on Whiteside so far through the first quarter of the year in terms of the value and whatnot? Are you impressed what you've seen despite the season they're having in terms of wins and losses?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think he's exceeded what everybody expected he could do, you know, in his first year with this contract. Like, number one, there were those who had their doubts who thought that, you know, Hassan has been a little moody. He's had some maturity issues in the past, but and they thought, well, now he's got his money. Is he really going to be motivated? Well, he's answered that question, number one. Secondly, his play on a team that is very limited offensively has been impressive. Hassan's averaging close to 18 points. He's leading the league in rebounding, averaging more than 15 rebounds a game.
Right.
And he is getting doubled, tripled, quadrupled teamed every time he touches the ball in the paint. And the reason being is the Heat have yet to scare anybody with their outside shooting. Last night was a great step in the right direction. If Wayne Ellington, playing in the second game, is able to at least give him another some outside threat that's able to spread the floor, excuse me, and Luke mm-hmm. Babbitt hitting a few threes. If they can spread the floor, that will open it up a little bit more, and he'll be even more dangerous. But to this point, Hassan's been a one-man wrecking crew, and what he's done is really more impressive when you think about it because of the attention he's been drawing from the defenses.
Do you think, based on what you've seen now, if this continues, I mean, he's got to make an all-star team in some form, whether it be a starter or mm-hmm. reserve, right?
Oh, I would think. I mean, if he goes into the all-star break, leading the league in rebounding, second in the top three, first or second, I believe right now he's still second in blocks and averaging close to, you know, 18 points, and that's been fluctuating. He's been around 20, so say he's averaging close to 20. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
Right.
Especially in the league. Well, you know, it's funny, though. The league has gone, you know, and this has been written about, and Hassan has talked about it, and all the beat writers have written a little bit about the small ball, the league going to a kind of centerless position.
Right.
But, boy, there are some pretty good centers in the league. You know, Hassan is going up against some pretty good big men every night.
Right.
And so he is going to have competition. But, you know, I would think, and if you look at those numbers, you not only look at his offensive numbers, he still is one of the better defensive centers in the league.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if he continues this, I don't see how he can be left off an all-star team.
Right. We're here with Tom D'Angelo right here on the Hot Hoops podcast on Twitter at TomD'Angelo44. Okay, now Wayne Ellington made his return to the team this mm-hmm. past Monday, had a huge game last night in Denver, including 5 3-pointers. How important is a guy like Ellington is to this team right now?
Well, that's exactly what they need. Like I said before, that is, if you could say what one thing do the Heat need right now this year to help this team improve, it's outside shooting.
Right.
And you know, to get Wayne back and have in his second game as a member of the Heat, have the fourth quarter and the game he did, and especially the fourth quarter when that was an impressive win on the road. They mm-hmm. you know, having blown a, I think with a 12 at one point, and then they're down 7 late in the third, and they have a deficit going into the fourth quarter. They had not won a game this year yet, trailing going into the fourth quarter, and he knocks down 4 threes, and just, you know, basically, you know, leads this charge back, and on the road, first night on a mini West Coast trip. That was pretty impressive, and that's like I said before, if Babbitt's been very shaky, but he made three threes, I think it was 3 of 6 last night on threes. If those guys can do that, at least it spreads the floor. And at least, you know, it gives you a threat of an outside game. So you can kind of loosen up the defenses who, up until this point, the entire everybody's defensive plan against this team is to pack the paint.
Right.
So that is exactly what this team needs.
One of the major stories this season right now has been the amount of injuries the Heat has sustained so far. Mm-hmm. You know, let's start here first. What's the latest on Deion Waiters?
Well, you know, from what they said last night, and we talked to Eric before and after the game, it's kind of what they expected. It's basically, to just kind of generalize it, it's a torn muscle in his groin area. It's a muscle that connects the, you know, as I look this up, the pubic bone to the thigh bone. Mm-hmm. And then that muscle is torn. It's not a surgical thing. It's a thing that's going to take rest and treatment. And, you know, and so during that, he's going to have to maintain conditioning. It's going to be at least 2 weeks. In fact, it's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So when they say reevaluated in 2 weeks, it typically means more than that.
Yeah.
Eric sounded hopeful last night. It's going to be 2 weeks, but we'll see. It's a pretty big blow, because that's another guy. You know, people can say what they want about Deion.
Yeah.
I've been kind of impressed with Deion. Mm-hmm. He started playing very well. He had 28 points Saturday night. He's been playing with this lingering injury. He scored 28 the night before he, you know, missed his first game, and had a really nice game. He does take a lot of shots. I admit that. He is a volume shooter. But I'll tell you, he's been, you know, without Ellington in there, with Josh Richardson in and out, with Goran hurt, with Justice hurt, he's been the one constant that you could rely on every night for a kind of a perimeter threat, and, you know, and they will miss that.
And you can argue he's probably right now on this team their best playmaker, honestly.
Well, you know, I still like Goran. I know Goran is kind of a hybrid guard, but to your point, he's a much better playmaker than I thought.
Right.
And we saw that right away. I think the first two preseason games, he had eight and seven assists, something like that. He had 15 assists the first two preseason games. And we're like, wow, this guy can facilitate and handle the ball. And he does. And that is important, because this is a team that does not have a true, you know, Goran's the closest thing. Other than Goran, they do not have a true point guard. When they released Beno Udrih on the last day of cuts during camp, it was the only other true point guard on this team. So they were going into the season with the idea that guys like Deion and Justice and Tyler Johnson, who worked on his ball handling skills in the summer, could kind of, you know, fill that spot when Goran got injured, or, you know, he missed a couple of games like he has, or
right,
just when he needed rest. And Deion has shown that. I've been impressed with his ball handling skills.
You just mentioned Justice Winslow. He's been out for a substantial amount of time as well, too. What's the latest on Justice Winslow? And I keep hearing he may come back as soon as possible. What's going on with him?
They are very hopeful he will return Tuesday night against the Knicks at home. He and Waiters are back in Miami, as everybody has seen. In fact, we're still waiting word to see whether Josh Richardson was sent back to Miami today because of a sprained ankle. But
right.
But he's on the final stages of his rehab from the sprained wrist. He's in Miami doing treatment, doing conditioning, and also testing out kind of a wrist guard that he's going to wear. And this will be, you know, if he returns Tuesday, it's 11 games he's missed. I think the Heat, we kind of suspected that. I remember the night they said he was going to miss, and I remember him talking about, I've got to get this better. I want it to be 100%. And a bunch of us looking at each other and saying, this is going to be a while. And I thought at that point, minimum 1 week, probably 2 weeks. And it's going to be a little more than 2 weeks. So it's not, we're not totally surprised it's been this long, but their way, they, you know, here's the thing, Ernest, with a guy like Justice, why, mm-hmm. you know, why put your future, why risk your future? Get him 100%.
Exactly.
This year is all about next year. This year is all about development for the four young guys specifically. Get him 100% to see what he can do. You know, he shot 31%. And he was being criticized, and everybody, including myself, you know, we were all asking about his shooting. To his credit, he never used the wrist as an excuse during that time. We didn't know the wrist was injured. So, you know, hopefully for the Heat's sake and for Justice's sake, that had a lot to do with his wrist. He comes back, and we see that improvement in the outside shot that we were all looking for this year.
Tom DeAngelo with us on the Hot Hoops podcast. Follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. He's the Heat beat writer for the Palm Beach Post. Here's a good question for you, what I want you to answer here. What have we learned this year so far about Eric Spoelstra, given, you know, the year, when the year started, the Chris Bosh saga, given right. Dwayne Wade's exit, shocking exit in July. And it feels that right now he has a get-out-of-jail-free card this year because of all yeah. those things that happened. What have you learned about Eric Spoelstra right now in terms of this team and building and developing?
Well, first of all, I think a lot would have to go south for Eric to be going get a bad standing with the Heat. I mean, Eric is Pat Riley's chosen coach, yeah. handpicked, developed, been in the system, been with the team as long as Pat has since 1995. So, but I've been really impressed with one thing. You know, this is a guy who for 4 years in a row went to the finals, won two championships. He is the least bit discouraged. You don't see one.
He seems one happier on the negative. Yeah, he seems more happier on the bench than he was during the big three era.
Well, and there are no expectations. Right. And Pat Riley said it before the year. He said this is an easy year for him. They were, you compare this to the expectations and when the big three were here and having to win every game. And remember that year they were 9-8 and LeBron brushed Eric on the bench and everybody was like, "Whoa, Eric doesn't have control of his team. Do they need a different coach? Mm-hmm. He can't win with them." No one's going to say, Eric should be coaching. This team should be in the playoffs. They should be doing better. They should be making a run of the playoffs. They're not. They're just not that good. And to his credit, I think I know it's only six wins, but taking away the looking beyond the wins, the win and loss column, this team has been in almost every game. There's been about three or four that they just haven't been in. One was the Utah game at home. And the Oklahoma City game on the road, they were 12, 13 point at the end, but that was deceiving. Those games were, in a sense, those games were, for lack of a better word, they were blowouts. They weren't really competitive. That and there's been a couple of others. Boston, they fell behind the other night and they had to come back. And again, that was another deceiving final score. I think they've overachieved in the way they played some very good teams down to the wire. One possession games, the Bulls, who were I wouldn't say the Bulls are a favorite to go to the finals, but they're a good team. Teams like that, the Spurs, and they've played a lot of good teams down to the wire, and they don't have they're out talented just about every single night, and then they throw in the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You go throwing the injuries. There are nights. There were a couple of when Dragic mixed the other night. They had no Goran. They had no Dion. No, Dion came back. They had no Goran Saturday, but Dion was there. Then they reverse it Monday. Goran comes back. Dion's out. Justice is out. Last night they had three guys who were probably if they're fully healthy, I think you might see a starting lineup that includes Dion Waiters, Josh Richardson, and Justice Winslow. And all three of them are gone. All three of them are out. And they beat Denver on the road. That's impressive. So I think he's done a really good job, and I think he's loose. And to your point, I think he's enjoying seeing this team develop. He's enjoying watching and evaluating. And there's a challenge here for him, not only him, but everybody, Pat, Andy Ellisberg, all of them.
Absolutely.
There's a challenge to identify the guys that you are going to move forward, because we all know that this year is about this summer. That's what this year is about. The NBA this year they're playing this whole year is about the NBA draft coming up and mm-hmm. free agency. That's when they're going to get the players that are going to, if they ever compete again with this group or the near future for a title, there are going to be there aren't not many of these players are going to be on that team.
Oh, absolutely.
So right now this year is about evaluating and developing four young players for sure in Hassan and Justice and Tyler and Josh. Those four guys and seeing how those guys can be a kind of a foundation, and then looking at the other guys that you've signed in 1 and 2 year deals, and maybe there's a couple of them, maybe a James Johnson, Wayne Ellington, those type of guys that you also would want on your team as role players mm-hmm. when you finally have another team that could compete for a title.
And that's actually a great point. It's my last question of the podcast here. I want to ask you, any chance the Miami Heat are active at the trade deadline, even since gaining assets? Nothing major, because I said this all along, even when they signed Dion Waiters back in August. I said that a guy like Waiters, if he's well-behaved, obviously, if he's a good citizen, he can have benefit to a contending team as a sixth mm-hmm. man and whatnot. Do you think that the Heat are active at the deadline, not even so much getting a John Wall type, or this assets or draft picks, do you think this team will be active in February?
Oh, absolutely. They're always active. Even when they're good, they're active.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I remember I was covering this team in Pat Riley's first year, shows how old I am.
And
in 1995,
95, yep.
And
I was 15.
His first trade deadline, Tuesday night, we were in Philadelphia. I'll never forget this. Tuesday night, we were in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and the trade deadline's coming up. And, you know, Pat has a great reputation. We know, man, it's his first year with the Heat, but we still know what he's all about. And he says, you know what, guy, there's just nothing going on. There's nothing going on trade deadline. Not expected to do much. The next day, he traded seven guys.
Yeah.
That was when they acquired
Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway, I believe. Yeah, that was the Tim Hardaway. And there was a two or three other minor deals. And now you got me thinking, I'm going to look up it immediately.
And
when
Tom,
hang up the names,
actually.
But
And Tom, that same day, because I remember I was 15 years old at the time. I've been a diehard Heat fan since 89. That same
day,
they played a 72-win Bulls team and beat them with eight players.
They beat them with eight players. And who you remember who scored the 38, 40, 39
Rex
points?
Chapman.
Rex Chapman, that's right. So, yes, he was, this guy is always active.
Yes.
Always looking. And there are a few guys that could help. Because Goran Dragic, you know, it just he's $17 million next year. You know, that they're going to have to think long and hard whether they want to and he's 30 years old. Is he going to be here? And is he going to be part of a team that if they ever contend for title again? Probably, you know, he's got a few good years left, so he could. But,
I think it's a bargain,
but at that
honest.
Price.
I think it's a bargain.
You know,
I think it's
but
a bargain
yeah.
deal, to be honest with you. Given Westbrook and him not being off the market now, I think Dragic, that's a bargain.
Well, for that position, and you're right, the players of that position who are max players, there's a ton of them. So
right.
you think he's maybe the next tier down? That's a pretty good spot. He's a really nice player, and he plays hard. He has his limits, but he does play hard, and I think he's a very good leader. So, but he Dion, could they help other teams? Like you said, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're not just gonna. I don't think they're just gonna dump them for the salaries. They're gonna try to parlay them. If a move is made, he's still gonna try to parlay them into something that will definitely that can help them moving forward. Whether it's a draft pick, whether it's a expiring contract,
right.
or you might just trade him for which I kind of contradict myself. In that case, you are basically dumping the salary for an expiring contract. But, you know, that all depends what they think of this free agency class. I don't think it's a great free agency class. I wrote today that guys like Steph Curry could always be in play. We know Blake Griffin's, you know, going to be mm-hmm. out there. There's a few. There aren't a ton of guys that can help. But there are some guys at the positions they need. There are some shooters. And also, a guy we'll see tonight, Hayward. So there are some guys that could help them. So I think you really got to know what they think. Is it going to be worth trying to add cap space? Are they going to be the players out there that you'll be able to fill that cap, you know, they'll be able to, you'll be able to sign filling that cap space with if you're just going to trade or dump a Dragic or somebody else for just to try to get cap space. So I don't know, but the original question, will be absolutely they'll be active. Whether they make a lot of deals, who knows? It just depends, you know, depends what's out there, and it depends on where teams are and who's available.
Right. Again, follow the Heat Zone blog at the Palm Beach Post, and follow Tom on Twitter, of course, at TomDeAngelo44. Tom, thanks for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. We'll have you on soon, definitely.
I enjoyed it. Anytime. Thank you.
Of course. Take care, man.
Thank you.